Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm Jeff Arnold, a five-time best-selling author, publisher of the Arizona 100, and now podcast host for Let's Talk About It, conversations with industry shapers where your story takes center stage. Hey, listen, in the heart of every industry leader lies an innovator and a visionary that has a story just waiting to be told. And at Let's Talk About It, we're going to have conversations with all kinds of leaders and visionaries. Can't wait to have you as one of our podcast guests, too. If you listen to the end, we'll tell you how you can be a guest on a future show. Thanks for joining us. Hello, welcome back to another wonderfully exciting episode of Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. Listen close, turn up the volume. Today, I have author Jeffrey M. Reed of the book Revenue Catalyst and former CEO of marketing firms. Listen up if you want to learn about selling, creating revenue, and lead generation for your firm. Mr. Reed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm super excited. Let's start with the book, if we can. It's your latest book by Jeffrey M. Reed. By the way, for those listening, he spells his name funny. It's G-E-O-F-R-E-Y, the proper British way. And the name of the book is Revenue Catalyst. Let's talk about how you got the idea for it. Maybe hit the top level of the content, the manuscript.
Yeah, look, it was a long journey because for many years I've contemplated wanting to capture all my learning and put it in a book form to be able to pass on a lot of learning over the 25-year sales careers that I stumbled upon after having really never contemplated a sales career as more of an academic. I was a mediator, I was a consultant, I was doing more traditional work and entered into a business in my early 20s as a mediator and trainer with a group of very distinguished people who brought a lot to the table from a content perspective. Really, it didn't take long to figure out that none of us really knew anything about sales. And I was always fascinated by the question, how can these high-powered people who have had all these careers know nothing about sales? And in tracing that back, I started asking the question to people I would interview in business schools, have you ever taken a sales course? Is there a discipline? And really, business schools are shaped into four different disciplines, finance, accounting, marketing, and HR. And there's no sales discipline. And so warp speed forward to 2029, after having had a career in sales as a manager, as a director, as a general manager, and as a CEO, and being able to sit face to face with the former president and vice chancellor of Concordia University, where I used to teach graduate school, Alan Shepard. He came to visit me in our London, UK headquarters, where I was for a number of years. And I took the opportunity to ask him, why is there so little sales education through university structures? And he laughed and he gave me what I thought was a profound but simple answer. He says, professors aren't comfortable teaching things they don't know enough about. And so I really used that as the launching pad for the book and really delving into that for the next 5 years. Really, every interview I did, I continued to ask that question. Have you ever taken a sales course? Most business students told me maybe one or none. A lot of the sales education is out there online now through podcasts and Instagram and YouTube and other instruments. But from a formal education, there was very little. So I structured this book and I was motivated to write the book, Jeff, as if I were a professor creating that fifth dimension of business school that I feel is missing in so many institutions.
I love that. I especially love warp speed because I'm always trying to get speed into the organizations that I run. And warp speed is a better way to say, I'm not just talking about speed, warp speed, right? All right. Let's talk about the journey to getting it written, because we're talking before we hit record, both being authors. It is fun, but it is a fitful experience too, because you could spend days writing the perfect paragraph and sentence only to destroy it 3 days later to start over. What's the first part of the book about, and how long did it take you to get your mind around getting the right manuscript?
Yeah, look, once I made the decision that I was going to write the book and had talked to a publisher who was asking me about outlines, it was really one of those inspired moments. I fired off the outline in less than an hour after having contemplated so many different subject matters for a number of years, because the book had been on my radar for probably a decade. And it all really fell into place once I put it within the context of teaching it as a business school class. Look, to me, everything in sales really starts off with product positioning. And there are just so many different ways that products are positioned within the context of whether it's a B2B or a B2C product, whether it's scarcity or whether it's a scarce product, whether it's an abundant product, whether it's IP is protecting it or it's a strong brand that's really driving it. All of these things come into play, and really understanding how to make good choices through the positioning, and then choosing a sales strategy that corresponds to that. Is it a persuasive strategy, which many of us learn from the time we're children, please buy my products, or what's a bit of a submissive strategy? Or a lot of great companies, banks, and universities are more resistant when they sell. Why should we accept you into our prestigious institution? Why should we give you the loan? And then it's up to the consumer to make decisions around how they're going to position themselves. And so within those two solitudes lie many possibilities in terms of the choices that we need to be able to make. And that really feeds into the whole idea of how to choose the right people for your sales team. What are the factors that will create predictability around who's going to perform best and who's going to stick around and be developable? And then how do you optimize that through strategies to develop them? And then how do you measure it through KPIs? How do you evolve over time? And then how do you prospect? And then really getting into what are the processes that we're using to be able to create great salesmanship? What are objection handling? What is our presentation like? And how do we ask smart questions to elicit transformational experiences? And what are all the other tools that are available to us in this potpourri of process technologies that are available at high levels? And how do we optimize those? And then really, how do we close? When we're covering a lot of ground, Jeff, in terms of that whole area, but being able to get 9 out of 10 on each of these elements, when the process is pure and predictable, the outcomes are pure and predictable. And that's really what this is. It's optimizing people's opportunity to control their outcomes and almost forecast their revenue. There's a lot of assumption in business that businesses have a lot more control over the costs that they incur, more so than the revenues that they generate, because revenues are in the future and are not known. But in many ways, we can reverse engineer things with the right types of processes if we are attentive to some of the things I just mentioned.
Yeah. No, I love it. I think the book sounds great. I could dive right through it myself, right? It's we very familiar with training lots of sales folks, and that it is a learned skill, right? You can't just look for an extrovert and make them a salesperson. You got to have some processes and, again, know the niche. I think I've grown to really love response modules in several of the firms we have, and I won't know if I would call it objection responses. There's three different answers to any ones, and we just equip our people with a quick response module to look at and have them read them. But it's very powerful, right? Nothing happens in the world if something isn't sold, right? In order for anything to transact in the world, something has to be sold. So it is a glorious career, and it is not shallow, and AI is not going to replace it. So,
indeed.
Awesome. Let's talk about you going across the pond to London. What did you do over there?
That was 2014 when I was appointed chief executive for part of the global business. That's our global headquarters. And that really led me to finding a way to go into a new environment, really, and earn the trust of the people that were working for me. And there are different ways, and having watched a few of your podcasts and some of the themes that you've talked about with other guests, Jeff, it's a very interesting question. It's one thing, when you have a title, you have power, but it's how does one use that power, and how does one get people squarely behind you so you can grow? And it's one thing if you do that from scratch, which I did early in my career, building my own teams from scratch, hiring and developing. And then I'm like the dad, there's loyalty there. But how do you go into another environment and take on responsibility for other people who are very capable? And how do you earn that type of respect? And that was really the London journey. And it taught me an awful lot about leadership. It taught me a lot about humility and about leading from the front and how to just get people to do things out of voluntary compliance as opposed to obligation, which really makes all the difference when it comes to having people really wanting to be a part of a winning team and wanting to do things for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons.
That is awesome. I don't know that I definitely do not possess the skill set to go to another country with different, for lack of a better word, prejudices, predisposed ideas, beliefs wrapped around sales, processes, enunciations, pause, commas. There's a lot going on there. And I know you got a lot to draw from, but what if you had to say like a character, a personality characteristic trait that was vastly different in North America, Canada, and US that you trained versus in Europe, what would it be? It doesn't have to be bad or good, but what is like a common personality trait that was so different, like a surprise to you? Just curious.
Look, there's the UK is really has an underlying sales culture. So I think a lot of people that aren't even in sales are predisposed to it and go along with some of the principles that are demanded in business. So in that sense, I would say having people who weren't in sales come into an environment where they were curious and wanted to get involved, it was a lot more natural there. Whereas I think in Canada, where I'm sitting right now, or some of the US offices I've had responsibility for, there may be a little bit of a gap. And look, that might have to do with sales education. It might have to do with, look, universities, as I mentioned, because they have very little offer in sales, will sometimes position a sales career as the career of last resort, just because it's not really that much in their favor to be promoting it as being higher than finance or marketing, which has some salesmanship. I think in Europe, maybe it's a little bit different. And maybe that's through education or just through the culture. But it's interesting to me that most CEOs that I know are either the best salesperson in their company or they've invented a technology. How it can be the forgotten discipline in so many institutions it still puzzles me a bit, but that's the reality. There's an opportunity for people to be educated, yeah, whether it be North America or in London.
That's fantastic. Agreed. Again, we're repeating ourselves, but I'm an aged man, so we can do that. Nothing happens if nothing's sold, right? So curious. We have a lot of private equity, a lot of small businesses that listen to us. If you're giving them guidance or counsel based upon your experience to take your company from 6 figures to 7 figures or 7 figures to 8 figures, what, from a sales standpoint and an executive standpoint, what would your, other than by your book, what would your guidance be for them to reimagine if they want to get to the next level? Because in their company, nothing happens till something's sold. So where would you point them to start?
Look, to me, the best products, you know, we want the best product that we can come up with or the best offering. It has to be compelling. That's key to the belief of the customer. It's key to the belief of the salesperson, you know, being able to talk about it with conviction. But assuming that is in place, there are processes for salesmanship that really do lie as far as how to position the product correctly in the marketplace. Is if one can niche craft a product and really make it a unique one, the positioning of it and the ability to make it scarce and valuable is much more natural, and that lends itself to the ability to create sales processes that and train salespeople to be able to nurture the fact that their product is something in demand and something that people might want. So if one can knit together those particular sequences and then scale it through the ability to hire the right type of people and develop them and retain them, then there's the opportunity for all those pieces to fit together in a perfect way that just lends itself to that scalability that you allude to, Jeff.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Trivia question for you. Your favorite sales movie?
Oh boy. Part of my book, I talk about sales movies that I think that have thrown us off course with respect to the assumption of sales. And I mentioned Glengarry Glen Ross, which professes that salespeople are born, not made, which I would argue the opposite. To me, that is the biggest myth in sales. Salespeople are developed. I'm not saying that some people aren't predisposed to being great sellers, but we all have drive. We all have an opportunity to desire things. And it really is about developing those attributes that lend themselves to becoming top sales that would be important. I also allude to Boiler Room, which I think really is a bit of a misconception, but in some ways does show the power of environment, as does Wolf of Wall Street. Those would be three movies that I would, in that order, probably go from cold to warm.
I love it. Seen all three of them, heard of all three of them. That was interesting. Great. Thanks for sharing that. You, ladies and gentlemen, have reached the awesome part of the show where Mr. Jeffrey M. Reed shares with us his hard-won wisdom lesson. For our audience, Mr. Reed, what would be your hard-won wisdom lesson?
I love this question because there are a few things, but there's one thing in particular that when the light bulb went off, it changed everything. And there was a lot of failure prior to my making this shift. But once I made this shift, tested it, I was able to teach other people and really use it to go from sales executive or sales manager really at that time, because I was hiring people to CEO. And really what that is the importance of attitude in the people that we employ. I didn't rank, I've asked this question to a lot of people, what's the most important attribute? Some people tell me intelligence, some people tell me coachability, et cetera. There are different attributes that people rank very highly when it comes to hiring people or experience. When I realized that, I could teach anyone the sales side. I could teach anyone what they need to know if they have the right attitude. And after failing for a number of years, well, I wouldn't say failing, but struggling to really create sustainable teams for a number of years, as soon as I made, and there was, I was trying to use psychometric tests, but there weren't really any measures for this. So I created my own psychological interview to really understand the driving forces of people's minds, what motivates them, and to understand the threats that they could bring, you know, with the wrong attitude. You know, hiring vindictive people is not something that is necessarily sustainable, because if you break up, you don't want someone wanting to hurt you. What motivates people when it comes to their success? And so ultimately my profile that I discovered, I wanted to hire positive people who typically succeed at things that they set out to do. And if I could knock off those two boxes and measure the other things accordingly, I could usually make good hiring choices, and those were scalable. And I was able to use that to help build a global sales force.
That is very wise guidance and counsel. So thank you very much. Much like we say all the time, when the heart is ready, the teacher will come, right? So you can people are malleable, and you can make them into a great salesperson by giving them the learned skills, but their attitude has to be there. The heart has to be ready and the attitude has to be open to it. So I love it. How can people find you and where can they get your books?
My website, jeffreymreed.com, gives a little bit of background and a link to the Amazon sites that the book is on. There are, I think most Amazon stores in most countries are listed, and I've had to have my web designers make it so that you choose your country so that you can find the right store to make it easier to buy the book. So from the website, that's a way to do it. Or if you type in the Revenue Catalyst into any Amazon, it'll come up straight away, or my name, it'll come up straight away. It's available in hardcover, softcover, and ebook.
Fantastic. Jeff, it's been an absolute wonderful pleasure. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed it and look forward to the next time.
Thanks so much.
Cheers, Jeff.
Hi again, Jeff Arnold here. Thank you so very much for listening to Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. Listen, if you are a successful founder, visionary, entrepreneur, or know someone who is that would be a good fit for this program, please visit or have them visit podcast.jeffarnold.com. That's podcast.jeffarnold.com. Two more quick asks for you, please. If you got something out of this interview, please share it and tag us on social media. I love seeing posts and guest suggestions. And then as a quick reminder, we're always putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, I would say please go ahead and subscribe to us on all your favorite social media channels. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.